Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you and welcome. I appreciate you being here. And wherever you are listening, I would appreciate if you would make sure that you are subscribed to this podcast so you never miss an episode. Today's interview comes from Ashley Molinaro. She is from here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And she represents interview number 62 in the Patient's Perspective Interview Marathon series. And I find her contributions to be fascinating. I hope that you will as well. Please enjoy my interview with Ashley Molinaro. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Rob.
It's good to see you. Your name is?
Ashley Molinaro.
All right, Ashley. And where do you live, Ashley?
I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Wonderful. Another tremendous resident of Southwestern PA. So thank you so much for joining me tonight. Well, I guess it's officially this morning now. So yeah, good stuff. So can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, please?
Sure. As I said, I'm Ashley Molinaro. I'm a wheelchair user. I was born with spina bifida. I am 51 years old. I work for UPMC, which is one of the healthcare systems here in Pennsylvania. We also have hospitals in Western Maryland and New York. I'm director for the Disabilities Resource Center. I was faculty in rehab science and technology at the University of Pittsburgh. My background is mostly with assistive technology and advocacy.
Okay, wonderful. So tell me a little bit about the Disability Resource Center, if you don't mind.
Sure. So the main purpose of our office is to ensure that all of our patients with disabilities have the accommodations that they need within our facilities. We look at the ADA compliance of the architectural components to our facilities, but we also look at tools and resources for effective communication and really just anything that anybody with a disability would need to accommodate their disability while they're our patient, visitor, or guest.
And is that like one central location for all of the UPMC facilities? Or mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. How do you find your ability to, first of all, how do you make sure that people know about you? Because I'll be honest about it. That is, I am a UPMC person. I have UPMC insurance and I go to UPMC hospital and I know you, and I knew that you were the head of the Disability Resource Center, but I never put together the pieces that when I'm in the hospital, I need to somehow figure out how to coordinate with you to make things work.
Yeah, so, well, I don't do it alone.
Right.
I have a team of people in my office. We have a program manager for clinical services and disability accommodations. His name is Matt Berwick. I have a program manager for disability accommodations in the architectural area. She's actually an architect for the built environment. Loretta Killeen, she's an architect. I have a project coordinator who is Peggy Ettinger, and she helps manage our office and keep all the projects in tow. Our team works with all of the different teams across the system, whether it's, we fall under corporate legal and risk management, but we work with patient relations, we work with the Center for Engagement and Inclusion, we work with quality, we work with the facilities folks and operations, We have contacts, specific people at every location. Every hospital has a disability champion. Every hospital has a Section 504 coordinator. We have representatives for our physicians' offices. We meet with all of them quarterly. We share a lot of information with them. They really are boots on the ground, and those are the folks at every facility who are familiar with the tools and the resources and everything that we have available.
Yeah. Okay. So I do know Matt, and I actually tried to get him to participate, but apparently he's on vacation. So
he's in Disney World.
Yeah. So more power to him. And he's having fun his way, and I'm apparently having fun my own way. So
I'm sure he's very sorry that he couldn't join you.
He did say he wished me good luck. So it's all good. And I told him not to get sunburned or overheated. So works for me. Have you met any healthcare heroes in your experience?
Many. I have a lot of mentors in healthcare. I've been in the field really since 1994, 95 was when I started at UPMC in the University of Pittsburgh. I had a position that was funded by both organizations. And the people who I met in the Department of Rehab Science and Technology were starting the Center for Assistive Technology at the time. And I was so impressed with the folks who were doing the rehab engineering and all of the OTs and the PTs and just the way that they were committing their lives to ensuring that people with disabilities had full participation in everything that they wanted to do. I was trying to figure out a way to make my own career look like that. So really they shaped everything that I wanted to do with my own career as a person with a disability. I hadn't really thought about dedicating my career to that until I met those people and I saw the work that they were doing. I saw the technology they were building and I saw how it was impacting other people's lives. And I just said, I wanted to do that too.
Sure. And let me just say the Center for Assistive Technology is a fantastic resource here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They kind of are a one-stop shop in which you go in and you are seeing the therapist, mm-hmm. you're seeing the doctor, you're everything that you need in order to get the technology that you need, and it all coordinates together, and it's phenomenal. So
it was groundbreaking when it opened. It was one of the first patient-centered facilities where they put the patient at the center. And all of the team worked with them and their families to figure out what their goals were. It was amazing to see it being built.
Yeah. And of course, I got married and moved to Pittsburgh at the very end of 1994. So mm-hmm. I acquired my disability in 93 and moved to Pittsburgh in 94. And so it was interesting to me that 93 was obviously 3 years after the signing of the ADA, mm-hmm. and 94 would have been, right after the Center for Assistive Technology is opening. And so I don't ever think that there's like a great time to have a disability, but if you have to have a disability, right now is not the worst time in the world to have one. There's a lot of good stuff going on in the disability world.
I tend to say that I was kind of born at the right moment as well. It was just serendipitous because I was born in 1971. And when I was going to kindergarten, IDEA had just passed. So that guaranteed, education and mainstreamed. And then I graduated from college in 1993. Right around when you had your accident, I guess. And I can remember when the ADA was being passed and my dad saying to me, that's going to be huge for you when you go to get a job. And I didn't know what he meant. I didn't know that people could discriminate against me because I had a disability. I was a kid at, 20 years old or whatever. But I remember him distinctively, it's in my mind, him saying to me as we watching the news. That's going to be big for you.
Cool. What does quality healthcare mean to you?
Quality healthcare? I think quality healthcare is very patient-centered. I think it's a lot of communication. I think it's a patient and a physician and the whole team working together to figure out what the best strategy forward is. I think people need to understand what their options are. I think people need to understand that there might not be just one solution. I think when you're able to ask questions, and I think whenever people are just upfront and answering those questions, I think that's quality healthcare. I think access to it. I think making sure that, you know, our facilities are ADA compliant and, you know, we have height adjustable tables. I think, you know, having access to sign language interpreters when you need them, having all of that is part of quality healthcare.
Okay. Just curious, did you come to that opinion before you started working in the, with UPMC, or was this something that, you know, you've kind of developed along the way?
Well, I started at UPMC right after school, right after my undergraduate degree. And then I went to Pitt, and I, working through Pitt and meeting everybody who I met, I learned about the healthcare system. I learned about what the barriers to healthcare were for people. I was involved in a lot of the research projects through the Rehab Engineering Research Centers for spinal cord injury, for telerehabilitation, for wheelchair transportation safety. I kind of learned all about the barriers through my whole career working with all of those people in rehab science and technology. And then whenever I was teaching ethics in healthcare with Kate Seelman, I was teaching about the social experience and disability. And I guess I formed all of my thoughts there. I was, you know, trained with the brightest minds in healthcare and disability. And then when this position opened at UPMC to be the director for the Disabilities Resource Center, I thought that sounded like a really cool job. And when I got it, I was just so fortunate. It was just such a privilege, I think, for me to be able to take everything that I learned in rehab science and technology and that career and apply it actually in a healthcare system and make that difference. I tell people all the time that there's not one project that I worked on with the people in rehab science and technology that I don't apply in my job now. Like even with wheelchair transportation safety, you think, well, what does that have to do with the healthcare system? Like even with our hospitals, we have our own shuttle system. Mm. People need to know how to do the tie downs, right? So you have that conversation with people. What does it look like, you know, if you don't have accessible shuttles for folks, you know? But it's just one of those things where it just has been my whole career.
Sure.
And I consider myself to be very lucky to do what I do. And I think, you know, I learned to advocate for myself when I was young. My parents always said that people are going to tell you no. And when they tell you no, you're going to have to not just ask or, you know, or say what you want to do, but you're going to have to say how you see yourself doing it. Mm. And convince them that you can do it.
Sure.
And advocate for yourself. And I consider myself very lucky to be in the role that I have to advocate for other people. I think it's really important that people with disabilities, and I think it's important too that as a healthcare professional, when I was teaching, I always tried to teach people that as a medical professional, you should probably really look at, number one, what you're doing to advocate for your patients.
Mm.
you know, keep that in mind, that you have a responsibility to advocate for your patients. And it's also really good to be able to teach your patients to advocate for themselves.
Yeah, excellent. So, all right, Ashley, we are, I think we've got about a minute and a little bit left, and we've got two questions left.
Okay.
And that
not
is,
best.
Yep. What do you wish your medical providers understood about you?
Every person is unique. Just because two people have the same disability doesn't mean that they should be treated the same way.
Okay. Tweetable moment right there. Every person is unique, even two people with the same disability. Yep. All right. And then last question for you. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare? Besides utilizing the Disability Resource Center.
Take a look around your own office and your own patient exam rooms and see if you can find the accessibility barriers and knock them down.
You know what? You are an incredible interview from this perspective. You give thoughtful answers, and then when needed, you're able to soundbite them and say, okay, here's what it is. It's short and sweet, totally succinct. Ashley, thank you so much for joining me. I really
Thanks
appreciate
for having
that.
Me.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you. And I appreciate your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.